This week's parasha, we have a very unfortunate story with the rebellion of Korach and Ben Yitzhak ben Kos ben Levi and Dothan Aviram ben Reuven, and his 250 people, Nesia, Edom, Kriya Moid, Anshe Shein, his big people, his well-known people, and they come along and they make a rebellion. And Moshe Rabbeinu, his first attempt to quieten them down is a very, very interesting way of doing so. If you look in Perek Tezayin Pasuk Gimel, Vayikalu al Moshe val Aaron v'yema aleihem rav lachem kol eidu kulam kadoshim. This is communist values. We're all kadosh. We're all holy. Yeah, why are you able to go and become the one who leads us more than anybody else? Yeah, and the carries on the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says, in Perek Ches, Vayim Moshe al Korach, Shimono b'nei Levi. Please, b'nei Levi, listen to me. Hama'at mikem. Anyone want to like to translate that? Hama'at mikem. Is it few mikem from you? Ki hivdel elekei Yisrael eschem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separated you. Ma'adas Yisrael, from the congregation of Klal Yisrael, la'hakriv eschem, we love to bring them close to him. La'avoid es avoidas mishkan Hashem v'lam lifnei ha'edo l'sholsom, to serve in the mishkan. And now, uv'yakriv oischos kol hachech v'nei levi itoch v'hashtem gam kuhuna. And now you're choosing as well to be a kohen. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, Bnei Levi, Korach, your children, what's the matter with you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has separated you, he's given you a position of esteem, of prestige, of covered, of being close to him more than anybody else. And he wants, you want Kahuna as well. So the Mefarshim point out that the Loshon Hama'at Mikem is a little bit strange. It should say Hama'at Lechem. Is it little to you? Also, hama'at mikem, is it little from you? Mikem, it should be lachem. Is it so small to you? Not so small from you. What's hama'at mikem? Correct? And this is a lashon which the mafarshim, a lot of different mafarshim bring and ask on. And this lemaisa is the yisoid. This is a source of what Moshe was getting down to when he was reproaching the Bnei Levi and understanding as follows. It's clear that every person has an obligation, and it's a correct thing to strive to different levels of ruchnius. A person constantly strives to daven better, to be a more of a mensch, to have better limud Torah, to work on himself. That's poshut. On the other hand, though, there is a level that one has to understand. You know, the Chofetz Chaim brings down that the first time HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said to him, the land that you are standing is Mokim Kodesh. Where you are standing, where any Jew is standing at any given time, he should know that it's Admas Kodeshu. It is a holy place where he's standing. The level that he is standing is something that Chalila, a person, may never be Meyayish. It never give up hope that he can't come back to Rabbeinu Shleilam. And understand that any position that Kodesh Baruch Hu has put a person, or the person is in right now, is Admas Kodesh, has potential for him to grow. But it does not mean that a person uses his position that he's in now and wants to grow by jumping a stage or by believing in any way that if he'd been in a different position, then he would be okay. If I would have more money, I'd be able to give more stock. Right now, Rabbeinu Shleilam, I haven't got. So I've got timers on you that I am in my position. Rabbeinu Shleilam, I don't have the seichel, I don't have the intellect, I don't have the time to learn like somebody else. If I had that time and that intellect, then I would become close to you. Right now, what do you want from me? No. Any place a person is standing, the place that he's standing, position that he's standing, all of Admas Kodesh is Admas Kodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Bnei Korach, Hamat, is it so little is Mikem? What does that mean? So the Siddur Shabbos explains that Hama'at Mikem, and Darkei Musa, Rabbi Yaakov Neiman says very similarly, Hama'at Mikem means, now I want to give a moshel. Let's say you bought a brand new Mercedes. E-class Mercedes, straight out of the showroom. Unbelievable. And they deliver it to your house, and you put the key in the ignition. Or if it isn't anything, is it even a key in the ignition? Right? You try to get the car to work, and it doesn't go. So you phone them up and say there's something wrong with the car. Says, excuse me, sir, this is a Mercedes. This is a top-notch car. This has been checked over and over again. I guarantee you, there's nothing wrong with the car. So why can't I get it to work? Because you may not know how to get it to work. You have to press this little button over there on the side. You've got to press it, and that has the ignition. You're obviously not used to that. You got to take on the side. It's not a handbrake now. There's a little lever you pull underneath the dashboard, and that releases the handbrake, right? You just don't know. There's a problem in you. There's no problem in the car. Obviously, he won't say that. But Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Bnei Levi, "Hama at, if it's too little, it's not lachem. It's mikem. It's because it's something wrong with you. You don't appreciate what's level you're standing." The pasuk says, "Ki lo dover reikhu mikem." The pasuk says, "With Torah, ki lo dover reikhu." It's not something that is missing. And if it is, it's mikem. It's something missing with you. If you don't appreciate Torah, if you don't value the position that you're in, it's mikem. It's a problem in you. Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, "You don't appreciate who you are. So you're not the Kohen Gadol. So you're not the Melech. But you're Bnei Sheva Levi. You have something. And if you don't realize what you are and how you are able to fulfill your potential in this position, then it's mikem. It's a problem in you, not in the position that you're in." The Dark Musa goes even further, and he says that the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha is a tzaddik constantly looks at the position that he's given, and he values that and appreciates that and uses it to his fullest potential and does not ask for anything more. And he grows with it, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him more opportunities as life goes on. And that's the Lashon. He says, "Vahineh Hashem nitzav olav." HaKodesh Baruch Hu is above him. HaKodesh Baruch Hu is above him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives to him, and he attempts as best as he can to connect with everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to him. On the contrary, Rasha, by Paroi, it says, "Vehine oimed al hayoir." You know, the river Nile was the god of Egypt. So when Paroi had this dream, "Vehine oimed al hayoir," here is standing on the river. In other words, I am telling you, God, what to do. I'm telling you, Hashem, that you got it all wrong. If I would have this and this and this, then I'd get up for Shacharis. If I would do this and this, then I'd be able to do straight business. In other words, you are dictating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu how life should look. That's Paroi. And the Rosh is willing to sacrifice and compromise any values in order for his own personal benefit. Lavan, yeah? Lavan has a house full of Avodah Zarah, and he sees Eliezer coming, laden up with gold and silver. And he says, "Please come in." What's with Avodah Zarah? "Vani Phoenicia Sabais." I'm emptied out the house of Avodah Zarah. You please come in. In other words, as soon as it's worth his while to toss out religion for his own personal benefit, he will do so. On the contrary, a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, is somebody who works the best he possibly can to use himself and to fit into the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he explains it with another moshel that the Dubna Market explains. And I'll bring it a slightly more modern moshel. Imagine a person goes to the bank, and he has a job as a clerk at the bank. And so you've got two clerks, one of them sitting next to the other one. And after 3 months, one clerk goes to the manager and says to him, "Sir, I'd like a position where I'm achroi, where I'm responsible on more money. Right now, the average week, in a small branch, an average week, I'm looking after $100,000. I'd like to go to a larger branch where I'm then responsible for $500,000. So the manager fired him on the spot. He said, "What do you care? What do you care? You are going home with the same wage from this branch to a bigger branch. What do you care? If it's $100,000 or $500,000. In fact, with $100,000, you have a much easier time for yourself than a $500,000, much less busy. And they have much less achrayus, much less responsibility. The fact that you are looking to be responsible over a larger fund means that obviously there's some money which is ending up in your pockets, and you have much more opportunity of stealing and getting away with it with $500,000 than with $100,000. And therefore, you and suddenly I can't rely on." Says the Dubna Magid, that's Peshat. Hama'at, if you believe that your position in Yiddishkeit is not enough for you, then mikem is going to be taken away what you have. In other words, you are clearly abusing that position that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given you. And if it's hama'at, if it's too little, in other words, what you're responsible over is too little, then it's mikem. Then it's going to be even taken away. You're going to get even less. Because obviously you don't value and not appreciating fully what a Kodesh Baruch Hu has given you, and you're misusing that. That's hama'at mikem. So what was happening over here was the other Sklerach were coming and demanding levels of ruchnius that was clearly beyond them, not valuing and appreciating where they are, and not realizing that whatever position they're in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just wants you in that position to do the best you can, and then slowly go to the next position, but try and cut high positions. And that's interesting, Rashi. Rashi, if you look in Perek Tezayin, Pasuk Zayin. Moshe Beinu tells them, "Zois asu kuchulachem machtois korech v'choladosoi." Take these frying pans, korech v'choladosoi. Yeah, says next pasuk Zayin. Usnu v'hen eish, and put on them fire. V'simu aleim k'toyres, put them k'toyres. V'efni Hashem mochel for hoyo ha'ish ashivcha Hashem, and the single person that Kodesh Baruch Hu chooses, who are Kodesh, he is going to be the Holy One, Rav Lechem B'nei Levi. Now this is, I don't know, Russian roulette looks like a picnic compared to this. Yeah, here you have 250 people, yeah, bring up machtos. It's dealing here, mamish dabbling with the most dangerous form of gambling here. If they didn't get it right, they're dead. Yeah, one person is. And why should, do me a favor, Aaron is going to be less than you, right? So what's Peshat? So Rashi asks this question. Rashi says, Rab lechem b'nei Levi, dover god l'marati lechem, v'loi tipshim hoyo, says Rashi, they weren't fools. Shekach hisra behem, he warned them, v'kiblu aleihem, and they accepted upon himself l'karif. Elohim chotu al nafshoysom, shenema es machtis hachatoim el nafshoysom. In other words, what's going on? Moshe Rabbeinu warns them, don't be such an idiot. You fools, you're going to miss it. And what happens, says Rashi? They weren't fools. Yeah? Well, they're fools. V'loi tipshim hoyu. They weren't fools. He warned them. What did they do? They ignored him. So ask Sav Sofer, what do you mean? They weren't fools. Of course they're fools. They ignored him. That's the biggest foolishness he could possibly do. Moshe Rabbeinu warns them, you're crazy. This is dabbling with the most dangerous forms of ruchnius. Keep out of this. And they ignore him. Well, that's below tipshim. Wait, that's not called tipshim. Of course they're tipshim. Of course they're fools. Says Sav Sofer, and this is a very, very important insight. And he says, when it comes to an avera, when it comes to gashmius, when it comes to taiva and gashmius, then we say, "Ein adam oisa avera, ele im kein nichnas boi ruchstus." A person has not done avera unless there is a foolishness that sort of clouds his judgment. Yeah, soita is called a soita because of a shoita. She's a fool, right? That's your fault, right? It's a shoita. She's a fool, and she's clouded by this foolishness. And therefore, when a person is able to snap out of that and realize the detrimental effects that the ruchnius, that this piece of taiva will cause him, and the detrimental effects of how wonderful it would be if he sticks to the straight and narrow and he does what the Baruch Shem wants, then he's able to extract himself from that position of compromise, and he's able, therefore, to become Shkodesh. Says Ksav Sofer, "V'loy tipshim hoyu." They weren't fools. What do you mean they weren't fools? They fell straight into this. The answer is no. They weren't fools because when it comes to a Yetzirah of ruchnius, then a person, even a wise person, can get schlepped into that. That's what the Pasuk is saying. When it comes to Gashmius, you're an idiot to run after Gashmius. When it comes to Ruchnius, even a person who's not a fool, says Rashi, can get schlepped into the terrible Yetzirah of looking for Ruchnius. Why? Because in this situation, you're not fighting against the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is on your side. The Yetzirah is saying to you, I don't want Ruchnius. I'm helping you. You want to be Ruchnius. I'm trying to help you be Ruchnius. So with the other situation, it's a Yetzirah, you against the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah says, do a terrible thing, don't do Ruchnius. You're saying, do Ruchnius, you get the clarity. Here the Yetzirah is on your side. He said, well, I'm telling you not to do Ruchnius. On the contrary, do it. You need to seek more, you need to do more. You need to become a Kohen Gadol. You need to reach a different position in life. If that's the situation, even somebody who's not a tipish, not a fool, it's very, very difficult for him to pull himself out of this. The biggest fights, the biggest, most terrible things are done the Shem Shemayim. Once a person believes he's fighting the Shem Shemayim, then it's all over. You know, the Kotzka says that Penina, the Shem Shemayim is Chana. Penina used to antagonize Chana. And the Gemara says Penina was a Shem Shemayim. She did the Shem Shemayim in order to get Chana to daven. Says Achzorius, says Kotzka, Azach Zorius, such a terrible form of cruelty can only be if it's a Shem Shemayim. You can only have such achzoris if it's a Shem Shemayim. This is a holy war. Ah! Yeah? When a person is fighting a holy war to be more ruchni, and the Yetzirah is helping him, then even a person who's not a tipish is going to fall into this. And this was a problem of B'nai Korach. B'nai Korach were being pushed by the Yetzirah, and were not wise enough to identify that problem. If you look earlier on, in Parshas Nosse, the Chasam Sefer says beautifully. He says the end of Parshas Bemidbar. Sorry, v'zois asu. It's early on. Sorry, in Peridala Posik Zayin Posik Yitches talks about the din of Shevet Levi and Shevet Kohos, how they should be behaving. V'zois asu, and he said this is a klal in life. Peridala Posik Yitches. V'zois asu lahem. This is how a person should behave. V'choyu v'lo yimusu. And he will live and he won't die. Begishdom es kodesh hakadoshim. When you come to dealing with kedusha, when you're coming to deal with levels of ruchnius, yeah, so what should it be? Ish ish avodosoi ve'el masoi. Each person according to his job and what he should carry. V'loyovoi liro is kavala es hakodesh hamesu. You should not be seen to chap kedusha and die. In other words, a person has to be careful. Each person according to his job, each person according to the weight and obligations that he carries, got to make sure. You got to make sure you don't chap kedusha and say, "Oh, I'm holding there," when you're not clearly not holding there. V'mesu, and you will die. This was clearly what Shevet Levi were doing. They're trying to chap kedusha when they clearly were not holding those levels and did not appreciate what they had to be able to fulfill what they actually are standing with right now. Admas kodesh. And the Rahman and Islam, the result of this was they died in this world, and Elohim Chelik Elohim Abola died in the next world as well. And Ramesha goes a stage further. Ramesha Feinstein says a beautiful thought. He says that what was the time of Korach? Korach came along. You have to understand who Korach was. Korach was not this little silly student body that was coming along there. And Korach was a Oshir, he was a Talmud Chochem, he was a Godlad Dor, yeah. He was a very, very astute, clever individual. And he comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he makes this Hatzagah, he makes this show. He brings a beged, a piece of clothing that's Kuloi Tcheles, completely made out of this dyed wool. And he goes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, does it need tzitzis? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, yes, it does need tzitzis. That's tcheles? Yeah, it needs tcheles and the tzitzis. Ah, it all started laughing. He says, why? Because tcheles, and one thread of tcheles is supposed to remind you, eventually, of Rabbeinu Shleilam. So therefore, why do I need a beggar that's fully made out of tcheles? Why do I need tzitzis? I already have the biggest reminder possible. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, you still need tcheles. What was the discussion over here? What was their mistake that Moshe Rabbeinu held? And that's a halacha that actually still did need tcheles. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein beautifully. He says that a beggar that's fully made out of tcheles is too much. You're grabbing too much. You're jumping levels. You're vala el kodesh. You're jumping levels of kedusha that you're trying to associate yourself too much. You believe that you've actually reached the goal when you clearly haven't. What is the avodah of a person when you have 8 tzitzis? Make 2 of them. 2 of your tzitzis, 2 of the threads of those 8, focus on them and they tcheles. They shall remind you of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Focus on the threads. Focus on stage by stage growth. Not on the finished picture. Ah, I'm there. You're not there. You're not there at all. You are just now, you have a thread. If a person believes they're there, they're missing out on Kedusha. Kavala la Kodesh, Vomeson, they will die. And therefore they came along and said, Beged, that Kulat Cheles doesn't need tzitzis. Says Moshe, it does need tzitzis. Because tzitzis is necessary to show a person you haven't yet reached where you need to reach. And stage by stage you'll get there if you work on that in the correct way. And he says that's a problem with them. The problem with Klal Yisrael and Korach, who was able to mislead Klal Yisrael, was the fact that they had their Kedusha was given to them on the plate. They never worked for it. They were given artificial doses of Kedusha and Emunah that they never worked on. They saw Nisim with Pari. Fine. They never worked on those Nisim. These eyes. So as far as they are concerned, the Bainashan could fight against one Melech. 31 Malachim? Who says? Who said HaKadosh Baruch Hu can fight against 31 Malachim in Eretz Yisrael? Mom? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us. But huge amounts of meat? Who said HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give us? If they worked on their Munah and internalized it and became part of them, and they were able to intellectualize it and become a chelik of a Munah and Betochen, Ani tefillah, said David Melech. Mamash, I am tefillah. I am a chelik of ruchni. Then nothing can knock them off. Nothing can change them. Nothing can make them deviate from munim betochen. And that was the problem. They believed that kulat cheles. I'm a beggar. Kulat cheles. We're on high levels. Kulam kadoshim. We just want to reach higher levels. No, the answer is you're not on such a high level. But the levels that you are on is a valuable level. It's Hama'at Mikem is a valuable level that you can actually grow and become very great through that. Later on in the parasha, it's very, very interesting. They took the machdois. I've spoken to several people about this. It's a fascinating nekuda. They took the machlis, they took these frying pans of those people who were burnt up, and they used them tipul mizbeach. Yeah. Second. There's a posuk. Yeah. If you look in a Perik Zayin, posuk Gimel. The Rebbeinu Shloim tells them to take the machtois. Es a machtois hachatoy me'ele. The machtois, the frying pans of these sinners. Benachshosim va'osu oisim rikuyeh pachim tzipul mizbeach. Make it as a coating for the mizbeach. Yeah. Ki'akrim lefnei Hashem ve'akdosh v'yu lo ois ibnei Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael will see that all the way through the midbar. Now they're going to go through now in the midbar and see the mizbeach. They're going to recognize this chet that the people who brought the ketores did. So the Chizkunya asks, the Mizbeach was made out of Nechleshes. It's Mizbeach and Nechleshes. It's not as if you had a wooden Mizbeach and they put on a big plaque of copper. The Mizbeach itself was made out of Mizbeach and Nechleshes. So how was it recognizable at all when you put on another layer of this copper that it was actually an Ois Livnei Yisrael? How did they see this? This is two levels now. There's only one layer. Okay, it's patchwork. You just patched it up. What was so noticeable? What was so clear? That this sin is supposed to infuse them with Yerushalayim by seeing this Tzipul HaMizbeach. You ever thought about that? Yeah, it's a very, very difficult question.
It was over the entire thing?
No, but I don't believe there's enough to do the entire thing.
So then there was a portion of it that was boiled a little bit.
Okay, so a portion of it boiled, but I'm saying it wasn't clear that the rest of Mizbeach was made out of one big sheet of copper. It was probably like patchwork. You put copper here and you knocked it over here. So how is it so visible? So the Cheskuni says a big chiddush. He says, if you look earlier on, how the Mizbeach is made, in Parshas Truma, in Perek Chof Zayin, Pasuk Aleph Beis, it says that, for the Sato, for Asis, one second, Nevuv Luchos Taso Iso. Nevuv Luchos means, says Rashi, Cholil Luchos Atsi Shittim Mikol Tzad. In other words, it was made hollow, Fa'achalal Be'emta, and it was empty in the middle. In other words, the Mizbeach was actually a hollow, piece of furniture, as it were, and it's hollow in the middle. And what did they do with this hollow thing? If you had something hollow, what did they stand on? So it's brought down that they used to fill it up as they travel from place to place. When they arrived at a new place, they'll fill it up with earth or sand where they were, and they stand on top of that sand. That was until this story over here. Cain comes to Chizkuni and he says that the Maisa of Bnei Korach changed everything. And what happened then? They made a Gag L'Mizbeach. They didn't put it on the walls. Nechoshes wasn't for the walls. The Nechoshes was used as a roof for the Mizbeach. That was something never had before. And when Klal Yisrael saw the first time, or they realized that it may have been a different kind of copper from the sides and on top, that was a ois. That was a sign that something has changed. Which is a tremendous chiddush, by the way. Yeah, so the roof for the Mizbeach was a roof they never had before, and that was made out of copper, which means it really changed from the structure of the original command of how to make the Mizbeach.
And wouldn't it melt from the heat of all the fires?
Copper, it may have a thick layer of copper, yeah. But there's also the Nissim. A lot more Nissim happened than that.
200.
Yeah, a lot more Nissim happened than that. But that was a Chiddush. So my Rebbe, Chaim Kaufman, wants to say, why was it Dafka used as a roof for the Mizbeach? Why? So he explained, what was the Aveira? The Aveira of Adas Korach was that they were seeking levels of Ruchnius that was totally beyond them. And they should have been satisfied with where they are and fulfilling their potential where they are. Yeah? Comes a Kodok Kodesh, and what did they do? They died over this. They literally committed spiritual, physical suicide over this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take them as Beach, that represents Hakrova. Sacrifice, coming close to Rebbeinu Shleilam, Kapara, all wonderful things, and make a roof on the Mizbeach. Make a roof on the Mizbeach to show that even when it comes to coming close to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, even when it means coming, making a Kapara and coming close, there is a level to where a person should be going and not higher than that. at this stage. There's a level, there's a roof. You're closed by a roof. You must not go further than where you're supposed to be going. And therefore these people sinned by trying to break, as it were, the glass ceiling of Ruchnius, which is the proper ceiling. They should never have done it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, on the Mizbeach, use their frying pans to put a roof on the Mizbeach to show people that even on the Mizbeach there's a roof. Even coming closer to Rebbeinu Shlomo, there's a limit where you should be trying to reach at this stage. This is a gewaltige Pikchus of this. A beautiful, beautiful vort of Reb Chaim Kaufman. Just very quickly, later on in the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Rebbeinu Shlomo to take these matos, to bring the sticks and to identify clearly that Aaron was chosen. And the interesting thing was that this was a competition, right? This was a competition of who was chosen by Kodesh Baruch Hu as the head of Klal Yisrael. This is in Perik Yudin. So they took, each one took the stick, they wrote a name on it. Then he's the one who Kodesh Baruch Hu chose. And they did this. And the next day, Vahima Mochros, Vayobat Moshe El Oil Ha'edus, Moshe Beinu came to the Oil Ha'edus, Vahine Porach Mate Aaron. And Aaron's stick had flowered, Vayotse Perach, and a flower came out, Vayotse Tzitz, and it gave out blossoms, Vigmosh Gedim, and it grew on it almonds. Vayotse Moshe Eskola Matos Vifnei Hashem, and Moshe took out all the matos, El Kol B'nei Sol, Vayiru Vayikhu Ish Mateu. And they saw it, and each one took back his stick. Now, Rabbi Yisai, you have to understand various things, but what's most important is over here, this was a lost competition. This stick, as far as they were concerned, was a sign that they were not chosen. So why take back this stick back home to show that I have actually failed? I was not the one who won in this competition. Why bring it back home? It says Rabbanim B'Shischa that what we're teaching us over here is, after this whole story, that they can take back their stick back home and say, I'm not the Kohen Gadol, but I have my matter. I have my stick. I have my shevet. I have my responsibilities. I have my failings. I have my potentials. I have my world. And they saw their stick as being something which is not Aaron's, but I have my din. I have who I am. I've got to fulfill my own potential. And therefore they took their stick back to remind them back home to say, no, Beseder, so I'm not Aaron, so I am who I am, and still got to do an Avoida. That was the conclusion and the culmination of this terrible event that began in the beginning of Parashas Korach to the eventual understanding that their stick is their avoda. But there's more than that. If you look in the Pasuk says, Vehine Moshe went into Oil Eidus, Vehine Porach Mate Aaron, the Beis Levi. What does that mean? It blossomed. Carries on the Pasuk. Yeah. Vayotze Perach, Vayotze Tzitz V'Igmosh Gedim. It gave up flowers, and he goes, what do you mean? If it blossomed, what happened? In other words, when he came out to show Klal Yisrael what was going on over here, what position was that stick? It had shkedim on it. It seems to say that it had blossomed, and it had shkedim on it. So all it should say is, he took out the stick, and there were shkedim on it.
Because he wouldn't see all the other products.
Yeah, he didn't see anything else. Number one. Number two, it seems to be, Vehine Porach Mate Aaron. Vehine Porach Mate Aaron. So according to the Rashbam, there were two stages. When he came into to Ol Moed, he saw Porach Mat Aaron. He saw that Aaron's stick had blossomed. That's all he saw. So Aaron's stick at that stage had blossoms on it. Then, carries on the Pasuk, he took it out to show everyone else. Then, and if the Klal Yisrael, a nest happened. Vayotze Perach, more Porachim came out. Vayotze Tzitz, and the little tzitz is the Chalotas Apri, the little beginning of the fruits, Vayigam Ashkedim, and the rest of the fruit. In other words, a nest happened, that the development happened in front of their eyes. So as it came in, it was just blossoms, and eventually when it came out, it was in front of their eyes. What's the idea? Why did Kosh Baruch Hu make this nace? The answer is, like we've been saying all the way through, that he wanted to show Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael wanted to show Klal Yisrael, that there is a process to everything. There's no jumping. You don't start with a stick and you end up from one day to the next. You end up a shkedim. Yes, shkida. It's work. It's work. It's effort. And if in front of their eyes, there has to be a development stages where you see development. You want to develop yourself because unterheit. But don't think from one day to the next you can suddenly become a shkedim. You can suddenly become an almond. You're not. There's a process. and there's a process to everything. Steiging takes process, and therefore in front of Klal Yisrael, they had to dafka have a situation where they could see in front of their eyes this process of change in front of them to show that a process of change was necessary. You know, there's a story once of the Satmar of Rabbi Yoel on Purim once, somebody said to one of the jokers, Batchonim there, he says, oh, the whole year there's a Rebbe, on Purim I'm the Rebbe. So Rabbi Yoel said, turned around to him and says to him, the whole year I'm the Rebbe because I've worked 40 years to reach this position. How long have you worked to be the Purim Rebbe for? There's work to be done here. Okay? But I just want to finish off with one thought from the Das Kanim. The Das Kanim says that the Yetzir Perach Yetzir Yigal Moshe Kedim, and it was put, and he said it was put inside as a Zekoran. The amazing thing about this stick was that normally there's a development stage that the almonds develop, and by that stage, when the almonds have developed, the blossoms have fallen off, and you just have the almonds. The chiddush of this stick was that was put in Mishmeres, so that's put inside the Oren forever and ever, was that there were on the same stick that all the different development stages remained there. So you had the blossoms, you had the little fruits, and you had the big fruits all on the same stick at the same time. That was also a tremendous nes that happened, which is totally unusual. What's the idea behind that? So my Rebbe, Reb Chaim Kaufman, again says that the important idea that had to be transferred to Klal Yisrael was the fact that you can have a stick and that is Kodesh, and it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're a little blossom, or whether you're developing, or whether you're shocked, or whether you're already reached the stage of an almond, they're all Kodesh. This stick is all Kodesh. Wherever you are, Admas Kodeshu, it's a place of Kedusha. And one can't jump levels. It's dangerous. V'mesu. Yeah? One can lose Olam Hazeh and Olam Habo. One has to focus on what we have, and what we have is fantastic. And if you don't understand, it's Hama'at Mikem. You are the one who doesn't understand what's going on. We have positions that we can use our potential and grow and maximize where we are and who we are. And for Ezra Shem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his time, will give us more potential. But use what we have, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us, Ezra Shem, the potential to will grow through HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Amen.